You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Fantastic. You know, it's a funny thing how when people say as grandparents, oh, it's so great to be a grandparent, and you're not a grandparent, but you got to wait until you become a grandparent. And then now that we're grandparents, it's like, I don't know why God didn't start it off that way. Instead of, you know, start having grandkids first. I'm sure he could have figured all that out, but there is absolutely something different about being a grandparent. And now that I'm a grandpa with, you know, these two little special granddaughters, miraculously, I now believe in arranged marriages. It's amazing how that, it's just so weird how that just kicks in. So it's not meet the parents, it's meet the grandparents. I want us to transition a little bit here as this is going to be an extended communion on Jesus. And I've just entitled this time together, Remember. I want us to remember because I've been around a while and many of you have been around a while. And it's good for us to remember. Remember what God has done in our lives. Remember what he's doing. Remember what he's going to be doing. And the older in life that I get, a lot like you, the more you just have to reflect on. You have many more years to reflect on. And honestly, I would just enjoy, apart from the worship and all that we have, I would just enjoy just pulling up a chair together and just talking and just sharing what God has done in our lives. Maybe what he hasn't even done in our lives yet, but lessons learned, the journeys that we've all been on, spurring each other on toward love and good deeds. And I'd enjoy that. But I'm not sure what God has put on your heart today. I don't even know how you're doing spiritually or what you may be experiencing in life right now. I'm not sure what kind of dreams you're dreaming. I'm not sure if you're even dreaming still as a disciple. But what I do know, if you've been around long enough, all your prayers haven't been answered yet. Not yet. What I do know is that people have disappointed you in life, and you might have disappointed other people in life. What I do know is that everything, and not everything that you've hoped for, has turned out so far the way that you've prayed or wanted. But lastly, what I do know is that God is not done with you or me. You have to believe that. You've got to embrace that. You've got to absorb it. You've got to trust it. That God is not done with your life, because if he is, then you'd already be with him. But he has in store for you much things to be able to do. And if we're going to continue running this race, it's going to require you and me to continue being fully committed to God and to the discipleship and following Jesus Christ. We got to keep our eye on the prize. We've got to not let things in this world distract us, but we've got to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and the example that he has for each one of us. If you're sitting on the sidelines and not playing on the field, don't expect different results this year. If you're doing the same old thing, if you're not challenging yourself or allowing your faith to be stretched, then don't expect anything different. You got to put yourself out there consistently in life to trust who Jesus is as he takes you on this journey. But if you're willing to be stretched, if you're willing to grow, if you're going to continue being a learner in life, then God will continue to open up doors. He will. That's his promise. He's our dad. And he will absolutely reward and bless those who are exercising their faith and not sitting on the spiritual couch. Now, I understand as a ministry, your current theme is encounters with Jesus. That's what you guys have been doing. I think that's a fantastic theme. Well, what I want to do today is I want to look at a parable. Look at a man that Jesus challenges to be fully committed. And I want us to learn lessons together on what we can do to even apply that. Are you with me here, guys? If you got your Bible, I hope you bring your Bible, whether it's hardback, digital, I don't even know what other forms the Bible comes in today, but let's look in Mark chapter 10. And I've got slides for us. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, don't defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I've kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack. I want you to go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "Wow, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Well, who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age: homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, and children, and fields, and with them, persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." I want us to remember today. I want to take you to different places in your life, and I want you to remember. But the first thing I want you to do is I remember who you died for. You know, this rich young man called Jesus good teacher, and that was a phrase that was only reserved for the Jews to address someone as God. And it was only used to address God. And so it's interesting to think that maybe this man thought Jesus was God. And in verse 20, it's interesting, he drops that title, good. But on paper, this rich young man, as he addressed Jesus as good and as God, he was, in many ways, this guy was the epitome of a good guy. He really was the epitome of a good guy. If you've got a daughter, this is the kind of guy you want your daughter to marry. But Jesus lovingly broke through this guy's pride. And he challenged him and brought him to his true motives. But Jesus broke through this guy's pride and he challenged him and got to his true motives about what he was doing in life. And it was money. Money was his Achilles heel. Money was the barrier because the money he had represented his the pride of accomplishment and security and self-effort. And that's where he got his greatest security from, or the things of the world. And so it was ironic, right, that the attitude of this guy, he was even unable to keep the first commandment about putting other things above God. And he couldn't meet that one requirement. And as we remember who we've died for, I think a good question for us, even today, for you and for me, you know, what barriers are there in our life that keep us from turning our life over to God? Now, maybe a different question, maybe a better question is, where do you get the most security from today? Is it still in God? Is it still in Jesus? Or is it in your education? Is it in your job? Is it in the money? Is it in, and these are all temptations as we all get older in life, that the world can compete for our attention, our heart, our mindset, and we actually give the best energy of our life to other things, and it may not include God. And yes, we can include Jesus in everything that we do, and that's what we should be doing. But do you still get your greatest security from Jesus Christ? You got to remember who you have died for. I want to take you back to your baptism. Go there quickly. You may want to even close your eyes and just imagine going back to your baptism and where it was, who was there, what time it was, when you answered the questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead? What did you say? What was your good confession? Gosh, what did you hear when you went into the waters of baptism? And then when you were brought up, what did you feel? What did you experience? What happened? What decisions were you making and remembering you made? You know, for me, I was a senior at Cal. That's when I started studying the Bible. And back then, with my ex-college girlfriend, I agreed for her to have an abortion. And I remember the feelings of tremendous guilt and shame and resentment. So much I wanted the hands of the clock just to turn back because of the mistakes that I'd been making. And I remember as an RA in the dorms, and my boss was a disciple, some of you who are at the Berkeley Church of Christ, Jackie Lewis was her name, and I told her about my problems, and I remember her introducing me to a couple campus ministers, and they started studying the Bible with me. And it took a while, it took 6 months for me to give up my old religious habits and my denominational beliefs. But then I realized I need to just surrender and give everything over to God. And I remember it was late at night. I got baptized like 11:30 at night. That's when most college students get baptized. And I remember driving from my apartment over to the church building. I was just bawling because I knew this was like the biggest decision of my life. I had to pull over. There was no windshield wipers that could wipe away all the tears. And I remember getting there, and they had me wear this baptismal garment. And I got baptized in this freezing cold jacuzzi in the church building. And I remember going down in the waters, Jesus, Lord. And it was just, but I remember the rushing of the water. And I remember coming up, and I remember the conviction, I have been forgiven by God. Like past, present, and future. And I remember leaving that night feeling like I could get hit by a bus. Not that I wanted to get hit by a bus, but I could get hit by a bus and it doesn't matter because I'm going to go to heaven. I trust you have your own similar memories. I trust that you have those similar convictions of giving up your life completely over to Jesus and surrendering your life to him. The older I get as a disciple of Christ, I need to remember more who I died for. Who I died for. Because the ultimate source of my security and your security is not in this world. It's not. And instead of having barriers in life that's going to prevent me from really being all in with God, I've got to continue giving over my life and remembering who I died for. And if you and I keep holding things back in God, even as we get older in life, then we're not going to experience the opportunities that God has for us. We're not going to have those doors continue to open up, and we'll miss out on everything that God wants to do through our lives. You and I need to remember who we have died for. You know, I read a story recently that inspired me and spurred me on. Can I read a story to you? A century ago, a band of brave souls became known as one-way missionaries. And they purchased single tickets to the mission field without a return ticket. And instead of suitcases, they packed their few earthly belongings into coffins. As they sailed out of port, they waved goodbye to everyone they loved. Everything they knew they'd never return home. A.W. Milne was one of those missionaries. He set out for sail for the New Hebrides in the South Pacific, knowing full well that the headhunters who lived there had martyred every missionary before him. Milne didn't fear for his life because he'd already died to himself. His coffin was packed. For 35 years, he lived among them, that tribe, and he loved them. When he died, tribe members buried him in the middle of their village and inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. When did we start believing that God wants to send us to safe places to do easy things? That faithfulness in life, that just faithful Christianity just means playing it safe. We just kind of maintain the status quo. We just kind of live our Christian life and our routine, but we're not allowing ourselves to be stretched. Jesus did not die to keep us safe. He died to make us dangerous people. People of faith who are going to do radical things in life through his power. We are not meant to just give ourselves over to Jesus Christ and, yes, live a faithful life over these years, but not to plateau in our faith, not to just flatline or to be bored in our Christianity. God wants us to live with purpose. You know, our goal in life is just not to arrive at death safe. That's not the goal. You and I need to remember who we've died for. And so remember this, pack your coffin. Pack your coffin, because this world is not our home. And I'm just reminding you of what you already know. But we need to be reminded of this constantly in life as month and year and years go by and decades go by. Running this race, pack your coffin. What's another thing I want you to remember? Remember who you live for. You know, Jesus genuinely loved this rich man. And he looked good on the outside, but Jesus exposed the very thing that was prevented him from eternal life. He couldn't give everything up. He had everything. And the disciples were amazed because from a Jewish perspective, being rich meant you're being blessed by God. Yet here's a young man who had everything, and yet he turned away from the kingdom because he wasn't willing to give up everything in his life over to God. And being wealthy can be a blessing, and it can also be a curse. On one hand, with wealth, you can bless others, or you can become so self-reliant that you forget about God. And the person who has everything on earth, right, can still lack what's most important, and that's eternal life. And we know all these things. And the disciples were amazed. They were shocked. They asked Jesus, well, who then can be saved? Well, if this guy can't be saved, then who can be saved? And Jesus told the disciples, with man, this is impossible. In other words, man cannot save himself. He can't. Only God could provide salvation. What people can't do, God can do. And we can't accept God on just our terms. We can't just ultimately pick and choose what we want to follow or what we don't want to follow, or, you know, if it doesn't fit our life, then let's not do that. We can't do that. You know, I think two of the most important chapters in the Old Testament, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And I say that because you've got chapters that list the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. And you see how God operates when children are obedient and when children are disobedient. See, all of us here, whether we're saved or not, are children of God. We're either obeying him or we're in a state of disobeying him. Now, God, our Father, wants all of us as his children to obey. And when we obey, then yes, good things will happen. It doesn't mean all problems are going to go away, but good things can happen. Now, bad things can still happen. Look at Jesus Christ, who is sinless. Bad things absolutely happen to him. But if we are children of God and we are disobedient, then you can expect more challenges in life to occur. They will happen. Guaranteed. But the moment that you and I bowed down to Jesus Christ and declared him as Lord is the time that we transferred our sins to Jesus's account. This is why I want you to remember who you live for. When you became a disciple of Christ, all your sins in your bank account were now transferred to Jesus's account. It's like God saying, I'll take the blame for everything you did wrong and give you credit for everything I did right. You think about that. Jesus was willing to take the blame of everything that you've done wrong, absorb it, and he is now willing to give you credit for everything he did right. This is the spiritual state we are in. It doesn't get any better than this, guys. It doesn't get any better than this. This is why it's called the gospel. This is why it's the good news. There is nothing else in life that can replace this good news. This fundamental truth of Jesus dying for our sins, being resurrected from the dead, and giving you and me a shot of a do-over in life. It doesn't get any better than this. As I get older, and what I observe in our family of churches, my greatest concern is that we come to church every week and we're never really fully committed to Jesus. And I'm not discrediting our faithfulness in many, hear me out on this. We can follow rules, but we never follow Jesus. We have cheapened the gospel, allowing people to buy in and never selling out. We've made it too convenient, too comfortable. We've given people just enough Jesus to be bored, but never enough of him to be transformed. And you and I can be in his presence and be bored at the same time. That just can't happen. If you think about it, if someone is bored in their Christianity, then that just means they need to remember who they live for. They need to be reminded again and again who they live for. Because if you follow in the footsteps of Jesus, it will not be boring. It will be anything but boring. And when you look back in your life, the greatest moments of joy and the greatest moments is when you went all in and took steps of faith. Those are the greatest moments in your Christianity. It's when you took a challenge. You stepped out on faith. You took a risk. You did something different, something out of the ordinary than what you're currently doing. And I'm not talking about doing dumb things. But I'm talking about faith steps. And it might be giving up a job because this job is not helping you spiritually. It might be, you know, sacrificing more to kingdom causes because God has blessed you with possessions and monetary wealth. It could be those types of things where you put it in God's hands and you allow God to do something with it. Those are your greatest times of your faith growing. I know it was for me back in college, giving up med school to go into the ministry. That was a step of faith. I remember not having email back then. And I remember typing a letter to the dean of the medical school in Chicago and saying to him, thank you for allowing me to be accepted. But I found a different way in life, and I want you to give up my spot for someone else who wants to be there. And I remember folding that letter up, licking the stamp, putting it in the mailbox, and it was like a step of faith that, God, I'm putting my career and my future in your hands. And I wasn't going to go chasing after that mailman. That'd be a little ridiculous, don't you think? It was a step of faith. It was a step of faith for Son and myself to go to Manila and to be on the mission team and only pack two suitcases, books, underwear, because we weren't carrying a lot of possessions. We didn't need to. We trusted that God was going to take care of us. That was a step of faith, living in a third world, moving to Thailand, didn't speak the language. Still don't speak the language. But we love the food. Thai is our favorite absolute food. But that was a step of faith. We knew that the gospel would work in any country, any language, because God has children all over the world. And it worked. Moving here to LA, some of the best years of our life, then Hawaii. And you might think, oh, wow, you got it rough. You know, it was interesting. Back in 1989, when we went on the Manila mission team, the team of 28 disciples were in the San Francisco airport. We're all crying. We're weeping with our family. We're never going to see each other again. And then when we got called to move to Hawaii and help the church there, people were like congratulating us. It was a weird experience. But let me burst the bubble here. Yeah, Hawaii is a beautiful place. And I believe when Jesus comes back, all disciples are going to shuttle through Hawaii to get up. It is a beautiful place, okay? But spiritually, it is not a paradise. There are people hurting and struggling just like people are hurting and struggling in West LA. Your life may look different than my life, and that's okay. But the key is, are you still taking steps of faith in your life? Are you still taking chances, with an adventure spirit, with what is God going to do? Are you putting yourself in a position where only God could move? And you're not playing it safe. That's how it worked for Abraham when he placed Isaac on the altar. When Jonathan climbed the cliff to fight for the Philistines, when Peter got out of the boat and walked on water, those were all steps of faith. They took a chance, and you know what? They saw God more because of it. Son and I are a position in our life. We're in the process of succession in the Oahu Church. What does that mean? It means that after close to serving full-time in the ministry for 40 years, we're preparing to pass on the baton for the next generation, who God determines. And we're educating the church now. We're being super prayerful. We're preparing for the church's future and even for our future and how we're going to serve. Yes, we're full-time disciples, but we're not going to be financially supported by the church at some point. All things come to an end. It's necessary. But Son and I, we want the church and us to be active in preparation and not to have the church family respond at a crisis. And my appeal to the West Side is I don't know where you're at, but there's going to be change and transition happening as you move into the future. It's inevitable. My encouragement as a church family is work together to prepare together. Just work together to prepare together. And the family is going to do so much better. You know, excitingly, Son and I have opened up a business in Hawaii that will help us get us more involved in the business community. I'm so excited that the business community has now become like our new campus ministry. And this business is just going to be a tool for us to be able to get into the lives of people. It'll be a front door to try to get into the lives of people in order to maybe get into a side door where, hey, maybe they need help in their marriage and family. Or, hey, maybe they're thinking about God a lot more, and that's one of the side doors down the hallway. But it's exciting because we are stretching our faith to depend on God that much more. And Son and I are excited for this next decade of our lives. We're in our 60s now, and I'm so excited, actually, about this next decade. I've been excited about the last decades, but this is like, I'm so excited about this one. Because God is going to open up doors. God is going to put us in people's lives that we haven't even met before. And we'll be able to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe for me and for you, church is not what just happens inside the walls of the Veterans Auditorium. Church is what happens outside these walls, brothers and sisters. It's the mission that God has for your life. And the goal in your life is not to just arrive at death safe. You need to be a dangerous Christian, a Christian that is exercising one's faith. But if money were not an issue, what would you do with your life? If you didn't have to go to work, and some of you like work, that's great. Some of you don't like the work you're in. I'll pray for you, brother or sister. But you're there for a reason. That's your mission. That job is paying you to evangelize them. But if money weren't an issue, you dream about it, you reflect about it, what would you do with your life? That's where you'll find your mission. That's where you'll find how God has uniquely gifted you to make an impact in this world. That's where you'll find your sweet spot. The longer I follow Jesus, the more convinced I am of this simple truth. God doesn't do what God does because of us. God does what God does in spite of us. And all we have to do is stay humble, stay hungry. If you aren't hungry for God, then you're full of yourself. That's why God can't fill you up with His Spirit. But if you empty yourself, if you die to self, then you'll be a different person by the time you reach the end of your life. If you let go and let God take control, He'll write history through your life. Are you following Jesus or are you having Jesus follow you? Remember who you live for. Remember who you live for. Lastly, remember where you're going. You know, Peter, being the spokesperson of the group, emphatically declared to Jesus, "Jesus, we've left everything to follow you." Those who plan to follow Christ must make a conscious decision to break ties with our old ways, with our old life, and put everything in the right place, our relationships, our possessions, our property. That's part of discipleship. We know that, brothers and sisters. We know that. Putting the greatest trust in him. And I appreciate Jesus. Jesus acknowledged the loyalty of this rich young ruler and to him. But he promised that those who've been, you know, broken off their old ties, they're going to receive a hundredfold. They're going to receive just a return on investment that is beyond what you can actually imagine. And that's the promise that God has for you and for me. And our lives aren't going to look the same. It's going to be different. For example, someone may be rejected by their family for becoming a disciple. You may have persecution, but he or she will gain a larger family of Christians. We can expect resistance. Jesus says you're going to get resistance and opposition if you choose to follow me and follow this path, because not everyone's going to agree with what you agree in. That's a given. But at the end of the day, those who seek status more than importance in God, then heaven is not going to be their destination. That's why you and I, we need to be humble. You know, every disciple who lives in the first world in the 21st century, a good book to read is the Fox's Book of Martyrs. That's a great book. It's a reality check and a sober reminder that puts our first world problems into perspective. You know, to the first century disciples, normal and radical were synonyms. It was just like, it's the same. A normal Christian is a radical Christian. That's someone who's daring and stepping out on faith and dreaming of the possibilities. And I think in our world today, we make those phrases more antonyms rather than synonyms. You know, Jesus threw down the gauntlet when he said to disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. And you know, the disciples actually in the first century took this literally. All the apostles besides one died a martyr's death. They literally gave up their life for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I'm not suggesting that you and I are going to physically die in the same manner for Jesus. I am not suggesting that at all. But you and I must die to ourselves in order to successfully follow Jesus. Here's what I'm saying. I really believe you and I still have a lot left in our tank to do more and to be used by God more. You got a lot more in your faith tank to rely on. You can still go deep sea fishing in faith. You can still get on the boat with Jesus and go out to deep waters and cast your net on the other side. We've got a lot more in our tanks, brothers and sisters, to be stretched, to be given over to God. If Jesus is not Lord of all, then Jesus is not Lord at all. He's got to be Lord of everything in your life. And those who are faithful to Jesus will be blessed. I know I'm experiencing that in my life, being married to Son for 35 years, living in third world countries, foreign nations, ministering to people of the Buddhist faith, of the Muslim faith. In almost 40 years, looking back on my life, I have no regrets. Do I have a lot of pain? Yes, I've got a lot of pain. Do I have a lot of hills and valleys and everything in between? Yeah, but I've learned to love roller coasters. And yeah, I've vomited on the roller coaster. Not literally, but spiritually. I've wanted to get off before the ride is over. That's not recommended. But I've been tremendously blessed that God brought Son into my life and that we can be partners in the gospel together. And we have reaped the benefits and the blessings of so many of you helping us, helping our family. We are so thankful for the family and the kingdom that has helped us. seeing our children love God and make good decisions in life, and we're blessed to be grandparents. God has certainly reaped 100-fold, and we've reaped 100-fold because Jesus promised it. But here's something that I've realized in life. I haven't really sacrificed for Jesus. And hear me out. What do I mean by this? Because if you get back more than you gave up, have you sacrificed anything at all? God has given back to me more than I've given to him. Could you say the same thing? If you could say the same thing, then yeah, you've sacrificed. Maybe you've sacrificed a job. Maybe you sacrificed moving. Maybe you sacrificed this. Maybe you brought your kids to go in a different school. Maybe you did all that, and that's great. You know, I think of that passage when Jesus says, you've only done your duty. And I'm not trying to make us feel bad. I'm just trying to make us get stretched. You and I have so much more left in the tank to be used by God. On top of all that, heaven's waiting. Heaven's waiting for those who remain faithful to him. And there's going to be a day when you and I are no longer here on this earth. It's coming. There's going to be a day where we're no longer here. So don't get cemented into the world. Don't root yourself because it's fleeting. It's a shadow. And live life as if you've already experienced heaven. And let's do all that we can to fill up heaven with more souls. With more. I met Everett earlier. He got baptized a month ago, right? Everett? Let's fill up heaven with more Everetts. You know, see more Everetts coming to the kingdom. And his wife, was that his wife? Okay, I didn't want to step on toes. All right, girlfriend. Remember where you're going. Remember where you're going. So what do you do here, guys? Remember who you died for. A lot of us are old timers. You got to remember your why. Go back to your why. Remember how much Jesus has done for you. Pack your coffin. Keep it packed. Remember you're here today, gone tomorrow. Some of you may need to respond in faith. Maybe you're here for the first time and you go, wow, there's something different about what God's message is having for me. I want to encourage you to take a step of faith. Get into the Bible. See what God has for you. Some of you may have been studying the Bible for some time and you know, I mean, honestly, what is holding you back from committing your life, repenting, and being baptized into Jesus? What's holding you back? Don't be like this rich young man who went away sad. Handle life with God's power and not your own power moving forward. Remember who you live for. You have a mission in this world. If money were not an issue, what would you do with your life? That's where your sweet spot is. And God will open up doors. And then remember where you're going. Heaven is waiting for us. I am so looking forward to being in heaven one day with all of you. Maybe our rooms will be next to each other. We'll just build a bridge between West Side and Oahu. Speed train. One of those things. Thank you for letting us be here today. Thank you that we can remember our lives in perspective of who Jesus is. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.